Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
For the first time in more than 15 years, bikers will not gather in Henry County, Virginia for the annual Jennifer Short Memorial Ride. Still, Carolyn Short and Linda Sink make the same drive they do every year. 30 miles from Martinsville to the Jennifer Short Memorial Bridge in Stoneville, North Carolina. Just like years past, they remember their niece and her parents, Michael and Mary, all shot 18 years ago.
Jennifer, we miss you. We love you very much.
Please return her. Release her to a secure location.
It just really rips your heart. It's like how could she end up here? Right here on our property.
I wouldn't risk anything to save that girl's life. But she's gone now, and she's safe now.
I'm Fox 8's Tess Barshber, and this is Who Killed Jennifer Short? Even without the crowds, t-shirts, and yellow ribbons, Henry County Sheriff Lane Perry says his office is still getting new leads.
Hey there, Sheriff.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Good, yourself?
Doing well.
We traveled back to Henry County for an update on the case, walking past the poster sitting on an easel at the sheriff's office, the same photos of Michael, Mary, and Jennifer Short offering the same $80,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. I asked the sheriff how many new leads they've gotten as the memorial date nears.
People would say this isn't a high number, but I'd say less than 10, but working towards that number, because we do occasionally get someone, either our interaction with them or whatever sparks it.
Sheriff Lane Perry tells me the COVID-19 pandemic hasn't impacted the investigation, but it does make in-person meetings difficult with the investigative team.
The communications have taken place. I guess you may could say in some things that were planned, we haven't been able to meet quite like we wanted to, but no, internally within our office, you wouldn't know there was any different operations other than people wearing masks in the hallway, but we haven't slowed down a bit.
When we last spoke with investigators, it wasn't clear what kind of DNA evidence was recovered at the Short family home 18 years ago. This time, Sheriff Perry says they do have DNA and submit it periodically each time there's an advancement in testing technology.
And so in these conversations, have there been discussions about submitting this evidence for the genealogical DNA testing? I know that's been a relatively recent advancement. Has that been discussed?
There have been discussions about that, yes. And I will probably say that some were prior to some of the societal issues that we're now in, that was probably some of the things that were being talked about.
It's the same technology used to track down the Golden State Killer and solve other cold cases across the country. Genetic genealogy can identify family members of a suspect using databases that include direct-to-consumer DNA testing. Sheriff Perry says people hear the success stories, but it isn't necessarily a simple process, and it's expensive.
We do move as a group. We have a general consensus. But we, at the end of the day, we do have to make sure this is in the best interest in maintaining the longevity and the integrity of the case. So it is not as easy as, well, it works out for all these other instances. It's not quite to that point.
When you have no memory, time is a fleeting concept.
The year is 2020.
What?
Yeah, it's 2020 now.
Caitlin Little was hit on the head in 2017, and her memory has lasted only a few minutes at a time ever since.
She never asks. She doesn't ask.
She has no sense of time. None.
Now her parents wonder if the standard medicine they look to for healing may have cost Caitlin her future.
Until we have our miracle, there will always be the moment of, did we wait too long? Were we too late?
The amazing story of living without memory in the podcast, Caitlin Can't Remember.
You may remember some of the evidence collected from the Short family home in the weeks following the murder. Court documents showed investigators pulled at least 66 items, including 22 shell casings, a 22 caliber shotgun, a rifle and ammunition, $600, and blank checks.
If you ever do something with evidence that it can't be used again, that's what you have to weigh it off. So we are somewhat guarded when we have to treat it with the seriousness that it deserves.
Keep in mind, investigators haven't announced any leads since several sketches were released in 2009. They show a flatbed truck said to be near the home in the early hours the day of the murder, and a man with a weathered complexion believed to be inside.
Is that all we have? And the DNA evidence? I mean, is that sort of the extent of it? Is that why we can't release more information? It's just because there's not more evidence available?
Really, those are some of the things that, and where you're asking, is the community's help, these are the things that we have that we can release. And I will say we've taken it right up to the very edge that we think we can do. And then we have unknown links from there that we ourselves don't have the answers to. So I do think we've given out about as much as we possibly can. And then also it's just probably on a minimum side of anything that's being held back.
From our conversations with my conversations with the federal investigators, It's hard to get new information to relay to the public. Can you at least sort of say, you know, you've been able to clear anybody from this completely as of recently that you may have gotten information about?
Well, you know, one thing, and I would like to be able to say that, but you can't really clear anyone until you actually solve the case.
During every interview, Sheriff Perry continues to call for more information from the public, asking again for any classmates of Jennifer's or parents who may have noticed anything suspicious the summer leading up to the crime to contact them. But when I ask repeatedly who it is they need to hear from, Sheriff Perry admits there is a narrow list.
How many people are on your suspect list?
If this is being in fairness, probably if you set the entire group down, the list, the people that we think the probability factor's there, there are 2 to 3 people that we think are involved in this case, well, that we would like to be able to work this to that point.
2 or 3 suspects, though.
Yeah.
You have 2 people in mind, named people that you have talked with that you feel aren't giving you the full story.
Yes, we do. I do think there's at least 1 and possibly 2 that if they would come forward and just sit down for years back in the origins of this case, they have kept the wall up.
He wouldn't name any suspects, but says those two or three individuals could be key to finally bringing the case to a close.
If you ask us our instincts, there are probably a couple people that most all of us would say we think the focus stems right around here, but yet it's just and you mentioned the word frustration, but we feel like we're close, but yet we're so far away, and that line just doesn't move anymore. I still believe there's one or two people that for whatever reason is sitting on just that much information that they could come off of and really tie this thing together.
Short family members Carolyn Short and Linda Sink told me they had no idea that genetic genealogy testing was being considered. It's a frustration they've shared before, not knowing what investigators are doing to get answers.
We don't know still who they need to hear from, but we know more than likely they live in Virginia, and we know that there's a small handful of people that they need to hear from. So, I mean, while they're always going to make those pleas for information from the community, they've made those pleas since day one and they'll continue to make them. I think this time, if nothing else, we did get the fact that they know who they're looking for. We're not going to know who they're looking for, but they know who they need to hear from.
Hello?
Hello, Ted.
Hi, Linda.
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Me and Carolyn are here. We're heading to the bridge now.
As they drove to the Memorial Bridge, I shared my notes with Carolyn and Linda.
They told us they didn't have no evidence whatsoever, none. So I'm not sure what they're talking about, the DNA testing. How, if they didn't have any evidence, how is that going to work?
Their last meeting with investigators was in 2018, and they want an update.
We haven't heard anything as far as the three people or anything. The only thing we heard was that they were keeping track of that they had a family that was involved in the
Right. I didn't know if you had any indication of who that might be.
No, ma'am. No. We didn't even know that. Thanks for the information, though.
Without much new information, they're left wondering if next year will bring them closure. The FBI told us they had no further information, sketches, or updates on this case. A special agent says they are still actively pursuing leads. If you have any information investigators need to know, you're asked to call the FBI tip line at 1-800-225-5324. Who Killed Jennifer Short was written and reported by me, Tess Bargeber, edited and produced by Sam Walter. Our executive producer is Kevin Daniels.